Hell is not only where the demons and the fallen human beings are. Hell is wherever there are persons in whom God does not dwell. I have yet to meet a happy, unrepentant sinner having finished my own graduate studies in psychology with some psychiatry. I read too much of Freud. Very clever man, Sigmund Freud. But the problems that people have, call them emotional, call them psychological, call them psychopathological. The unrest, the lack of peace, of course, people can have an emotional or mental disorder without being what I consider the main source of the lack of peace, especially in a country like ours. They are people in whom the Holy Trinity is not dwelling. And one reason for the flourishing success of psychiatry is the breakdown of faith in millions of once believing Christians, including believing Catholics, that they are sinners and must be reconciled with an offended God. Otherwise, there is no peace. Our peace of soul is in direct mathematical proportion to our friendship with God. I didn't used to talk this way 20 or 30 years ago, but I am now. Perhaps the clearest description of what this means was expressed by St. Augustine. Made long the quotation, but worth quoting in full. Quote, Augustine, who, by the way, knew a great deal about sin. 4 9 years. They're not, of course, St. Augustine, but Augustinus. For his conversion, he was a Manichaean. And in Manichaeism, there are two creators of the world. A good God and an evil God. Another name for that evil God would, of course, be Satan. And this Manichaeism, this is Augustine before his conversion. None of us, Manichaeism taught, none of us has control with our free will over our moral behavior. It all depends on which of these two gods is in control of your life. So Augustine lived a life of pride and lechery and consoled himself as a Manichaean. I might wish that the good God was in control, but it's clear. Evil God is master. Every once in a while, we will tell the good God, anytime you want to take control of Augustine, it's up to you. As long as I'm under the control of the evil deity, well, that's me. You may be surprised at what I'm going to say next. At the heart of Protestantism is Manichaeism. We don't have a free will. My favorite definition of Protestantism in the United States is a deeply, profoundly Protestantized nation. Let me quote Augustine. Although God is everywhere, wholly present, He does not dwell in everyone. It is not possible to say what the Apostle says. Know you not that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? He that is everywhere, that's God, does not dwell in all. He does not dwell equally, even in those in whom He does dwell. Unquote Augustine. The great discovery that Augustine made, and let me tell you, there were Catholics 50 years plus 95 days in the priesthood. I'm now counting the days. Have taught me a great deal. One thing I've learned and I share with you, there were Catholics only years after they reached adulthood, make the phenomenal discovery, oh no, I have a free will. Yes, my dear, you've got a free will. And you can choose. What a statement. You can choose what your mind tells you is contrary to the will of God. The whole pro-choice mentality is based on only one thing. They claim to use the word choose or choice. No. They choose, but there's no selection in their choice. They choose to do whose will? Their own will. And the mystery, and this is a mystery, and God, the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, will not coerce, force, a person to choose His divine will rather than our own will. Now, something of an explanation. How does the church explain this indwelling? She tells us that the indwelling is unique. It exists only in the souls of believers who are in the friendship of God. And in English, because English is such a totally, utterly, non-Catholic language, not know that is not know the ABCs of your faith. There is no way, no way you can depend on the dictionaries in English to tell you the meaning of words. No way. Said more than once. Webster's Unabridged Dictionary, years of research and millions of dollars spent, the editor decided it is not possible to publish an English dictionary that defines the meaning of even a single word. All we can do in English in a dictionary is describe how words are used. I'll never forget the 5-year study being made by the Association of Colleges and Universities for training teachers. I was asked to represent the bishops for 5 years. And the plan was that our public schools teach some moral and spiritual values, at least some, based, of course, on the supposition that there is a God. If he created the laws of gravity, which no sane person would deny, that he also created the laws of morality. It's just common sense. Last 3 days of a 5-year research at Columbia University. And I was in the group about 7 of us for 3 days with a man sharp as a needle, very intelligent, quiet, smiling, but completely possessed by the evil spirit. Sat next to each other. And he wanted to sway the whole organization, which would affect, I repeat, all the public schools in the nation, whether we should have some moral and spiritual values in public schools. And of course, he didn't want it. So then I asked him, we've been talking about truth, truth this, truth that. I named him Dr. So-and-so. What do you understand by truth? He told us, smiling, truth is that which the human mind keeps searching for, but will never find. And that one man swayed the whole organization. So then the governments of one state after another refused to accept some basic moral and spiritual values in education. Give our children some foundation, some basis for living a good moral life. In other words, friendship is a generic term. Friendship of God. This friendship with or of God is in those who first of all have the indwelling of the Holy Trinity from one perspective, or the Holy Spirit from another. And secondly, are in the grace of God. Sanctifying grace is what the Holy Trinity gives the soul. What the Holy Trinity do, it gives the soul supernatural life. A soul in whom God is not dwelling is a dead soul. And every person who is not in God's friendship has a dead soul. A live body, but a dead soul. That's why we speak a mortal sin. And I've come back to this so many times. In the name of God, pray and beg the dear Lord to bring those of our bishops who have strayed from the true faith. Bring our bishops back, those who have strayed, back to the one true faith. You do not, I don't say just condone or defend, but promote sodomy. Whose consequences, our Kathy Faye tells us, is the loss of God's friendship, or the loss of His indwelling, and the loss of His grace. This indwelling comes to us through baptism. That is why this past Friday in Chicago, an all-day board meeting, in the evening, I spoke at a place called Woman's Center. Some of you were there, right? Lift any of your hands. Were there? And I was just so thrilled when they led me into chapel before Mass. It was a blessed sacrament. Exposed on the altar. And abortion has 1,000 evil consequences. But in my theological judgment, the worst effect of abortion is the denial to those unborn children, the denial of baptism. As we know, the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches that we may, note the verb, we may believe that those children murdered in the mother's wombs, we may believe they will reach a heavenly eternity. But the Church has never defined how they do reach heaven. I don't believe she ever will. In other words, I repeat, with all the tragic consequences of abortion, and not the least of these, a priest for over 50 years, I know of nothing on the human level, it is more devastating as a result of abortion than what happens to the mind and the spirit of the woman who has an abortion. I know the deprivation of the certitude of heaven. This indwelling can be lost, and thank God, regained. And that's why Christ instituted the sacrament of Holy Father prefers, remember, the sacrament of confession. Whatever you can do, whether it is urging, whether it is cajoling, whether it is, pardon the verb, pressuring. Whatever you can do, to get our priests to be available for confession frequently and for as long as there are penitents who want to go to confession. The Archbishop of Chicago, the new one, inherited 40 parishes, where instead of confession, they are giving general absolution. You have said more than once, there must be a very grave emergency, like an epidemic, or a time of war, or an earthquake. A large number of people is not a valid grounds for general absolution. Moreover, even where the valid absolution is giving, a condition with that valid absolution is the one who makes, say, an act of contrition must intend at his next early confession to confess privately to a priest the mortal sins. Otherwise, the general absolution is zero, invalid. This indwelling can be increased. And the main reason for growing in virtue is to increase the divine indwelling in our souls. Because, as we said before, quoting St. Augustine, he that is everywhere does not dwell in all. God dwells only in those who are in his friendship, and he does not dwell equally in those in whom he does dwell. The main reason for living a good moral life is to increase the indwelling of the Trinity in our souls. This indwelling, we continue, is the cause in our souls of the graces that those in God's friendship possess. Except for the divine indwelling, be no sanctifying grace, no theological virtues, and the one virtue that every person always loses, when the person commits a mortal sin, the one virtue is always the virtue of charity. Always. The moral virtues, prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I cannot begin to tell you how unhappy people are who are not in God's friendship. And our modern world, 14 years living and teaching in New York City. I think I've told you, in Manhattan, there are professional schools of humor training men and women to get people to laugh. These high-priced professional institutions. In other words, for so many people, a secularized world like ours is producing all kind of palliatives for their pain, sadness, and all kinds of substitutes for the joy and the happiness they do not enjoy. The most unhappy people I've ever met have been those most deeply steeped in sin. As a multimillionaire in Tarrytown, New York, his sister urged me. I tell you this story. in Chicago for years. I wish you'd talk to my brother. Became a multimillionaire, but gave up his faith. So, all right. Finally, I got a retreat nearby, community of nuns. After the retreat, I was to visit this multimillionaire. The chauffeur from the convent pulled me over to this multimillionaire's house. It wasn't a house, it was a castle on a high hill overlooking the Hudson River. It was mine with my broken, dusty bag. And the chauffeur said, Father, there's no place for me. So he went back, left me alone. So I pressed the doorbell. One of the nine people waiting on this multimillionaire answered the door. First thing she looked at was my bag. I could now talk for 3 hours, just for 3 minutes. Her boss was coming. He came. A long black limousine. Of course, chauffeur driving the car. My friend at the back of the limousine pushed a button, the door flew open. He walked in. There he was, holding what they called this inside of a car. I call it a stirrup. Right hand, a glass of cider. Father, he said, let's first see my gardens. 10 miles, I'm quoting, all around his gardens. And between sips of cider, he kept telling me, it's all for my pleasure, all for my pleasure. And he sat down on the porch, a hot July noon. His first question, do you believe in hell? I sure do. He said, I don't. He raised the question. I hear nobody gets out of hell. What good is hell? What good is hell? Except for my faith in hell, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be wasting my time on a hot July day talking to you. Well, I repeat, I could talk for at least a couple of hours. End of the meal, I had a train to get to the New York station. And ever tell you this? Somebody hear me? Well, we'll be able to carry this with me. But we were shaking hands. He was bidding me goodbye. Am I still with me? I did everything in my power, everything. I pulled out a gun, everything. To bring us to our senses. Finally, he shook hands, then he stepped back. There's a wall behind him. And as he reached the wall opened behind him. I should have my hand out. And he stepped back into the wall. And then the wall closed. It was my friend. Thought of myself, no millionaire would do this to a Jesuit. So I rounded up the nine people waiting on him. But I found one Catholic woman. I could talk for a long time. He kept in touch, this woman and I. He had a stroke about 2 years later. I told her, if he has any kind of a heart attack or stroke, get a priest immediately. The priest conditionally anointed him. I instructed her, if he recovers consciousness, get that priest back, quick, any time of the night. He was conscious. He got absolution. Was anointed. He was buried from the church he never attended. His indwelling can be lost, can be increased, is a cause in our souls of many gifts. But I would say, for practical reasons, especially the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The more generous we are with God, the more happy we will be. Do you hear me? And that does not mean, let's not be silly, that does not mean not carrying the cross. One of my favorite definitions of heaven. Heaven is happiness minus the cross. On earth we're supposed to be happy. But I repeat, don't be dumb. We're not in heaven yet. This indwelling may be described as a special intimacy of God with the soul, producing an extraordinary knowledge and love of God. That's why the present Holy Father is doing the unheard of thing. Even good theologians are shaking their head. Oh no. You mean the Pope is going to declare a 24-year-old girl by the name of Thérèse of Lisieux a doctor of the church? I don't think she didn't get a college degree. She did not even get a high school diploma. Let me tell you, not all the intelligent people are wise. In other words, all the education of the world may not give us the wisdom we need to understand. I don't mean to have a big IQ, which, by the way, is a misnomer. All the IQs that I know of are fakes. That's spelled F-A-K-E-S. They're fakes. They're not intelligent quotients. They're memory quotients of the words which the person supposedly defines. The measure of our indwelling of the Holy Trinity in our souls is the measure of our intelligence. A believing child of six can be much, much wiser than a P, I like to pronounce the word, PhD of 60. It can be illustrated by our own knowledge and love of others. Some we know and love merely as members of the human race. We are to love everyone. Others we know and love more personally. Still others are among the few whom we know and love, as we say, almost as much as ourselves. And my friends, and that's plenty. And what unites us to other human beings, is the indwelling. Because then, it is not just we who love another person or are united with that person. It is God who is uniting us with Himself and through ourselves with another person. The indwelling gives us an extraordinary capacity for knowing God and doing His will and being happy in knowing and loving God by doing His will And by the way, that, hear it, is the only source of true happiness on earth. Knowing and doing God's will. Finally, the indwelling gives us the power to love God even to the contempt of ourselves. As the absence of the indwelling leaves people so selfish that they love themselves even to rejecting God. And that is at the heart of the culture of death, as Holy Father calls it, the most murderous century in the history of the human race. And Christ tells us we ought to love one another even as He has loved us. We ought to be willing, this Christ's teaching, to love another person even to dying out of love for that person. That's why Maximian Kolbe was canonized. Or the world teaching people to love themselves even to killing another person. How I wish these were figures of speech. On the implication I've got six there, each one I could lecture on for at least a half an hour. When am I due for the next class? What time do I start? Please? 3:15. See, it's 7 or 8 minutes after. Suppose we take our break, and then how much break do you have on your, between the class? How much break? Yes. 15 minutes? Okay. Big deal. 15-minute break. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mother of divine grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.